hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Chicago Bears Pro Bowl free safety Mark Carrier. Let me remind you about Mark's background. He is from Lake Charles, Louisiana. Attended high school at Long Beach Polytech in Long Beach, California, where he was a three-year varsity starter and named Parade All-American and USA Today All-American in 1985. Played his college ball at USC, where he became USC's first winner of the Jim Thorpe Award, which is presented annually to the nation's best defensive back. He was inducted into the USC Athletic Hall of Fame in 2006 and was named to the Pac-12 All-Century Team. Fox Sports named Mark the seventh most dominating defender in USC history. He was a first-round draft pick, the sixth overall selection by the Bears in 1991, and one pick ahead of his teammate, Junior Seau. Mark played in the NFL from 1990 to 2000 for the Bears, Lions, and Redskins. He was named Defensive Rookie of the Year in 1990 when he led the league with 10 interceptions, which also set a Bears franchise record. He was named to the Pro Bowl three times in 1990, 91, and 93. His 32 career interceptions has him tied with safeties like Hall of Famer Kenny Easley and fellow USC alumni Troy Polamalu. After his playing days, he coached at Arizona State, plus with the Ravens, Jets, and Bengals. You can hear him now as he's a co-host on the Pac-12 Network, and that we are honored very much that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Mark, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the
show. Welcome back, Mark.
Hello, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, I want to start by getting your thoughts on your USC Trojans. 3-2 so far on the season. They're coming off back-to-back wins over Arizona and Washington State. And prior to that, they had lost a couple to Stanford and Texas. They've got number 19 Colorado coming up Saturday. Give us your thoughts. How do you feel about the Trojans so far this season?
I'm kind of perplexed. I don't know who they are. Someone asked me this question a couple weeks ago about the Trojans and what I think. I said, I don't know what their identity. I just know from when you look at the great teams, you look at the Ohio State, the Alabamas, even use the word Notre Dame, which I don't like to use around. They have an identity. You know who they are. You know what they do and how they do it well. But this USC team, going into the season, they thought their offensive line would be a key and their defense will hold on and allow this young quarterback, J.T. Daniels, to come along. Well, the kids played okay. What's not been good is their offensive line has struggled and their defense hasn't really shut anybody out. So I'm still trying to figure out who this team is.
So, Mark, taking that a step further, when you look around the rest of the Pac-12 and you get to see that up close and personal, how do you feel about the rest of the conference? Who do you think is playing in the Pac-12 conference title game?
Oh, that's good. Obviously, I'm guessing the winner of this weekend's Oregon and Washington game, probably for sure from the north is from the north. And, not to say anything, SC should win out in the south, but the south is not looking all that, you look at UCLA, trust me, I'm glad to see what they're doing. But, you got to still play Arizona State. This game against Colorado was a big game. SC barely, the only reason they beat Washington State because they blocked a field goal. So you got to figure, I'm looking at possibly the winner of the Oregon-Washington game and SC playing in the Pac-12 championship game.
Bob, questions for Mark?
Mark, it's always a pleasure to have you on and welcome back. And, Mark, I'm thinking about the old Soldier Field and, there's so many great stadiums out there that are mentioned. Usually hear about Lambeau and baseball. Of course, it's Yankees and Fenway. I just don't think Soldier Field gets the credit for being one of those real, real classic places that people have played in. I think it goes back to 1926. Every time that you walked in there, Mark, did you have that kind of historical feeling that I'm in a very special place?
Yeah, no question. Now, I played in old Soldier Field. And so when you walk in there, at one point that stadium years ago, the old sort of used to hold 100,000. That's how big that stadium was and not taken away from this Soldier Field, which is a beautiful stadium. It doesn't have the same mystique as that you're talking about, Bob, like Packer, like Lambeau Field or like the Boston where at the Red Sox where they play their games at. it's not the same old Soldier Field. I mean, it's still a great place to play, but I think they did a disjustice not keeping some of this, the characteristic of that stadium, close to what it used to be. You know, it kind of looked like almost like a spaceship out of there. They still kept the pillars and everything, but that's it. But that's really the only remembrance of that. The stadium doesn't have that feel. Now, I could be wrong. I'm curious what other guys who played in it, the old stadium, doesn't have that feel of the old tradition Chicago Soldier Field Stadium to me.
And the first coach, Mark, you played with obviously was Ditka. That's a story in itself. But your first defensive coordinator, Vince Tobin, people remember him for having five average seasons as a head coach. But he was a very, very successful defensive coordinator both in Chicago, Arizona, and a few other places. Talk about his ability to coach the defensive side of the ball, Mark, and your relationship, what it was like with him.
Well, Vince was one of the things that I learned a lot from Vince was he was a very, very smart man. Very, very cerebral. He's very low key. It's funny. You went, cause you go from Buddy Ryan, who says, you know, and God rest his soul was out there and with that outgoing personality. Obviously the players loved him. And then here come Vince, who was more low key, kind of behind the scenes guy, but very smart. I mean, I think at one point, when Vince was there, they set the record for scoring defense. I mean, that's how good Vince was, in understanding X's and O's from a defense. And what I learned from Vince was was the bigger picture. It wasn't just my position, but how to see everybody else's position, how things work and how everybody works together. He showed me or tried to teach me again, not to just look at what I do, but to encompass everybody else around me and make sure they're doing what they're doing and how it all works together. There's no one guy. I mean, if you have a dominant guy like a Richard Dent or Mike Singletary or Hampton or somebody, obviously that makes everything better, but it's still a team effort and you need a group, you need a whole group, filling in to be successful. And Vince kind of taught me that of understanding the whole picture of the defense.
Mark, I want to get your thoughts on the Bears for this season. They may be the surprise team in the league so far. 3-1, leading the NFC North division. Is this a team you think can actually make a run in the playoffs?
You know what? Going into the season, I thought they would be better. I mean, Trubisky would have another year. Defense would be. I thought they would be better. I didn't think they would come out of the North or Central, excuse me. But when they got Khalil Mack, when you get a game changer on offense or defense, you can just see in that short time how that one guy reverberates around the whole group and what that one guy, when you've got somebody who's a once in a lifetime game player like that steps into to that team, you can see what his ability has. I mean, you saw what he's done and you can see what had happened to the Raiders, him taking away from the Raiders and see what he's done to with the Bears. And again, the growth of Trubisky in 1 year, which I was questioning a guy only 14 starts. That's just a tough deal to come in college and all of a sudden be a pro quarterback, but Nagy's done a good job of bringing him along. But you can't underestimate the presence of Khalil Mack and what he's done and put this team, in that position where they got a chance to win the division if Trubisky keeps growing and keep improving like he has been, they're going to have a chance to get into the playoffs and make a run.
And to take that a step further, Mark, when you look at Trubisky, right, he's coming off the best game of his career last week a couple weeks ago against the Bucs, where he threw for 354 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's completing 70% of his passes this season. You talk about, you know, them bringing him along and growth. What have you seen? What have you seen out of him that looks like he is starting to actually mature into a guy who really could be a franchise quarterback?
Well, you kind of hit on it when you talk about completing 70% of his passes. It's his decision making. He's making smart decisions. I mean, with young quarterbacks, you know, you never know. Sometimes they always think they're just going to get it and throw it down the field and complete every pass. But what they've done with him and what their offense has done and Mark Helfrich, who's the offensive coordinator, who used to be the head coach at Oregon, who I worked with at Arizona State, is a very good, you know, he doesn't get enough credit on how well he's done with Trubisky and how well he's worked with him. Of just getting him, keeping him focused on what he needs to do and giving him, putting him in position for him to be successful. When you draft these young quarterbacks, if you get, want to give them to play, well, put them in positions that he can be successful. One, good talent around him. Two, highlight his positives so he can have a chance to be successful. And that's what this team's done. And so what Trubisky's doing, he's taking what the defense gives to him, and he's showing his strong arm, and he can make all the throws. And biggest thing I see is, the two things I see is, one, is he's making smart decisions, and they're not turning the ball over. And that goes a long way.
And, Mark, last week we had former defensive back Toy Cook on the show, and Toy talked a lot about how passing and receiving numbers need an asterisk now because defenses can't hit a quarterback almost at all, and wide receivers no longer have a fear about going across the middle because if you hit a wide receiver hard, regardless if it was helmet-to-helmet or not, immediately the flag is going to come out because there's the perception of it must have been helmet-to-helmet. So, of course, passing and receiving yards are going to go up. What are your thoughts about where the game is at right now?
Well, it's like anything else, eh? You're talking about a guy who was suspended three times for hit, but never flagged on the play. So it's always after fact. The game evolves, and it changes, and you have to change with it. It's not going backwards. It's going forward, so we have to adjust. But I think Toy is right. Even though he's a Stanford guy, he's just trying to show his intelligence there. But the game has changed, and you have to adapt to it, and it's becoming more wide open, more spread. And the NFL want to keep these quarterbacks on the field because they're the ones who sell the tickets. And so they want to make sure, and injuries is part of it. Let's not be coy about it. You want it, safety is also a big reason, but it's also keeping the most highest paid player on the field more all the time to generate offense because that's what the audience wants to see. But it is a difference. There's guys in the Hall of Fame would have to adjust their game totally, but those were the rules that they played under that, and that's how it is. And great players will make adjustments to what the games are, what the rules are today. That's just a fact of life. And, it hurts me a little bit to see some of the softness that may make the game, but that's how it is, and that's what it evolved to, so you got to always adjust to it.
Bob Moore for Mark.
And Mark, you when you got into the league, you were able to play on the same defensive side of the ball as Ron Rivera. He had already had a very successful linebacking career when you arrived there. Did you have any inkling? I know when I watched him, had no inkling that he might get into coaching or be as successful as he has been.
Oh, Chico wanted, if you asked me, Mark, who was some of the most influential people on you when you got into the league that helped you? Chico would be the number one guy. He was so smart. He and so patient with me and helped teach me how to play, help me learn the defense, learn how to get assimilated to professional livelihood. So the fact that he's a successful coach, it doesn't surprise me at all because I know how he was with me and how he helped me along and how he helped me understand and learn the 46 defense and different ways to work within the structure of it, but more importantly, how to be a pro. I think that can't be said enough that he helped me learn, helped teach me how to be a pro in this league and be successful and be a very good teammate. His wife, Stephanie, was a great person too. It was a great athlete in her own right, are good people. And I can't say enough about how Ron was great for me and my career and helped me become a better player.
And, Mark, we've also been fortunate enough on this program to speak with Mike Singletary, who you also played with, Hall of Famer, obviously, legendary. And I was just wondering, was he that type of leader on defense, Mark, that was more of a rah-rah guy, or was he one of more just kind of led by example because of the talent that he had?
Oh, no. When you're a leader like Mike Singletary does it all. There's some guys, like you said, are rah-rah guys or some guys who do by example. When you're somebody as great as Singletary, you do it by both and then some. You don't just, you know when to be the rah-rah guy, but you also know when it's time to lead by example. But it's also in times when you take a guy to the side and talk with them and show, hey, try to just be a friend or a teammate or there's so many aspects of it just to be a leader. Not just the two things you said. He was a lot, he helped me. He taught me how to call the defense. He taught me how to get the guys, the players to learn how to get them to that can win their trust over what needed to be done. He got on me when I needed to. You know, he was like a big brother to me. And he was also one who put his arm around when he thought I needed that. So Mike was just more than just an average. He was a great leader. He was a great leader of men, not just because he did it by example, not because he was just a rah-rah guy. It's just because he was the person he was and all he encompassed. He knew when to say the right things, when to do the right things, and how to do it. And the most important about leadership is being consistent, and he was consistent about it. He never put himself out there. He put himself out there as hard as anybody else. So it wasn't like he was throwing you out there. He would be out there first. He'd put his name out there first and expect you to follow, but he would also be the one who'll give you all the praise before you give himself the credit. So he was just more than just what you term a leader. He was just a great person.
Mark, I don't know if enough people outside of the Midwest really grasp how deep the rivalry is between the Packers and the Bears. Was there extra juice for you guys when it was Packers week?
Oh, God, yeah. I remember Keith Van Horn, you know, played offensive tackle for the Bears and was an SC guy. And I remember we were going, getting ready to play the Packers, and he came up in Green Bay in Lambeau, and he came up to me and said, to try to give me understanding of what this game was about, he said, hey, this game is like playing against UCLA and Notre Dame, but magnified 10 times. That's how heated this rival is. And it was. And even today, heck, I joke, my in-laws still live right in a very north side of Chicago. Matter of fact, like 30 minutes from the border of Wisconsin. And I always joke about when I go visit them, like, hey, if we're going to go somewhere, we're not going to the state of Wisconsin. I don't want to be anywhere near the state of Wisconsin. And I think I don't think they allow me in the state of Wisconsin anymore, but that rival, yeah, you know, because it's been going on for so long and so heated. Obviously, it doesn't get the notoriety as some other big rivalries in today and age because it's both teams, you know, aren't always one's usually up or one's usually down. Haven't they been where they've both been high in a while? So that kind of takes away from the luster. But trust me, it's serious. And because it's these people, the fans take it very serious.
Mark, before we let you go, remind our listeners what you're doing now and how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Oh, okay. Well, I work with Sports USA, and I, matter of fact, I sub in and do some broadcasting. I did the broadcast game. I did the Packers-Viking game and went to a tie in overtime. I was actually doing that on national radio. I'm getting ready to do coming up the Nebraska-Ohio State game for Sports USA. Right now I'm in Champaign, Illinois. My lovely daughter plays soccer for the University of Illinois, and they're playing Purdue tonight. So I'm actually hanging out at that game tonight. So when I'm not working radio and filling in, I'm being a rooting dad for my daughter who plays soccer for the University of Illinois.
That's fantastic. Good luck to her tonight. And we can't thank you enough, Mark, for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and join us. You're always so fantastic. We enjoy having you on so much. We hope you'll come back and do it again a little bit later on in the season and give us more of your thoughts and your insights. You're fantastic.
Oh, my pleasure. You guys are great. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you, Mark.
Take care, Mark. All the best to you and your family.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Take care, Mark. That is former Pro Bowl free safety Mark Carrier. Bob, love having Mark as part of the show. So insightful. And always so much fun when he's a part of the segment.
It is, Chris. And talking to the guys he played with, you get goosebumps. The ones that I mentioned, I didn't even bring up, guys like Richard Dent and The Fridge and all those other guys. What memories of Soldier Field and the weather and et cetera. It's just such a great time when we speak with those old guys from the Black and Blue Division.